Good morning. Did anybody read the word for today this morning, by any chance? Okay, so, there was this old, tired-looking dog, and he wandered into this lady's garden, and he followed her into her house, and there he sat himself down, lay himself down on a rug for 2 hours. Then he got up and went away again. Now, this happened every day for 7 days. And eventually, the lady was wondering, what on earth is happening here? So she tied a little note to him and saying, your dog has been coming to my house for the last 7 days, lay down for 2 hours, and then gone away again. The next day, the dog came back with a note attached to it saying, it could be because he lives in a home with 10 children and needs the rest. Can I come with him tomorrow? Okay. We've got liftoff. So, you're quite right. The Americans did reinstate Mothering Sunday. Well, they called it Mother's Day, I guess. And it was by a lady called Anna Jarvis, who lived in Philadelphia. And the reason was, and it's a very good reason, actually, her mother was somebody who gathered women together for the benefit of their health. She was teaching them about good health. And this lady, Anna, decided to celebrate her mother by creating a special day. It was after her mother had passed away. And the president of the time thought it was such a great idea that they sort of instated it throughout the whole of the nation. And then in 1917, a lady in this country called Constance Adelaide Smith, it could only be from this country really, couldn't it? She was really inspired by that and thought, let's reinstate the concept of Mothering Sunday, still using it on the fourth Sunday in Lent, but let's celebrate not only the Mother Church, but also earthly mothers and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Mother Nature. This lovely lady never actually became a mother herself, but she was somebody who cared deeply about young women and did a lot of work with young women in her lifetime. So it is a wonderful day to celebrate. But today we're going to be thinking particularly, as you might have guessed from the reading, Mary, Jesus' mother. What a remarkable legacy she left us, a legacy of faith, of worship, and obedience to God. Just better get hold of this, because otherwise, having done all this work on here and I don't use it, it would be a shame, wouldn't it? Okay. Now, we're going to be using Luke's account, because Luke said right at the beginning of his gospel that these events he's writing about are carefully investigated, everything from the beginning. That's what he did. And he created an orderly account. Now, Mary's testimony and witness would have been key here as these stories got passed on down. Now, Luke's account was very detailed, and the thing he did was to include stories about the marginalized. And he recognized the inclusion of women in Jesus' ministry and how Jesus valued them. And they were also, let's face it, a marginalized group at this time, but Jesus honored them. So we're going to think about three things about Mary. First of all, the call on her life. Secondly, the affirmation of that call. And thirdly, that amazing song. So, the call. We were told about Mary's encounter with an angel. I don't know about you, but I think if I suddenly saw an angel in my garden or in my home, I think I might become quite stunned. And this was no ordinary angel. If you remember previously, at the beginning of Luke, he encountered Zechariah. And Zechariah wasn't sure that he believed him. And Gabriel's retort was, I am Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of the Lord. Well, you don't argue with somebody who says that, do you? So already he was, you know, somebody who was close to God. He knew what God's plan and purpose was. What he said to Mary was, greetings, you who are highly favored. the Lord is with you. That was a pretty wow moment, wasn't it, for Mary, I should think. She's understandably troubled, not only by his appearance, I would imagine, but where was this going? You know, what was he saying here? Where is this going? And he said, don't be afraid, Mary. Don't be afraid, because you have found favor with God. Then comes the big news. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You're to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. That's a pretty amazing statement to make to a young woman, isn't it? And the thing about this statement was that not only was it a statement about her, but it was acknowledging something about Mary. As I've been thinking about this and looking over this, he acknowledged that she would have understood and known something of these scriptures. She would have grown up knowing that a Messiah was promised. But there are two scriptural references here, or God's word references here. You will conceive and give birth to a son. And it says in Isaiah, a virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. And then he finishes up with, his kingdom will never end, which we find in Daniel 2, verse 44. He is acknowledging her understanding of God's word. And here she was, about to be part of the fulfillment of that promise. What do you do when somebody says something like that to you? Her question? It's not really a good time for me at the moment, you know. I'm not in a good place at the moment. I think maybe another time. I'm a bit young. Perhaps you could come back later. It was simply, how? How is this going to be? And then Gabriel simply said, it's more than simply said, that a holy one was to be born and he will be called the Son of God. And how did she respond? Here it is. I am the Lord's servant. May your word be to me fulfilled. Now, here is a young girl with the hope of a marriage to Joseph. She will have been making plans. She was living in an occupied, insignificant town at a time where women held no authority or had a voice. And this is how she responded. In our theme of journeying together, it occurred to me that whatever aspect we're looking at, our bottom line, our foundation, our starting point has to be, how am I journeying with God? What is he saying to me here? And I would suggest that Mary had an awareness of the profound nature of God, where she didn't argue with the call, but she obeyed it. She made herself available. And as I considered, why did God choose Mary? I felt she was willing, she was faithful, she was open to hear what God is saying. And these are great qualities when it comes to serving in God's kingdom. This ordinary woman became extraordinary as she fulfilled the purposes of God. And you and I are ordinary men and women who become extraordinary because we hold the power of God in our spirit, in our lives. This is where he dwells. So if you think you're ordinary, you're not. You are extraordinary because God is with you as he was with Mary. Saying yes to God meant that she didn't carry the fears and perceptions of others. She chose to carry God's son, even though she could not have known what that would have really meant. Being blessed for her didn't mean it's all going to be plain sailing. She was blessed through the tough times, and that meant the reason she was blessed through the tough times, because she would have experienced the presence of God in her life at every turn. So we're going to have a little reflection after each of these thoughts. And the first one is this. What do I carry in my heart? What do you carry in your heart? Is my relationship with God such that I can hear his call, be willing to listen, be faithful and ready to say, may it be? Where are we? Where am I? And where are you? The second thought is the affirmation. Now, the angel did something really lovely for Mary at the end of that dramatic revelation. He told her about Elizabeth and pointing her in that direction where she might find understanding and comfort. You know, this was a devastatingly dramatic news for Mary in a culture that would not have tolerated a single woman becoming pregnant. So her agreement with God came at a tremendous cost. It came as a cost to her and to Joseph. Now, we are told that Joseph is a righteous man, and he was also someone whom God could trust to fulfill his part in this story, and he agreed to support Mary. Again, in our journeying together, we need people in our lives that we can trust, people who accept us for who we are, people who are willing to stand with us in the good times and the difficult ones. Now, I would say it's probably not wise to share everything with everybody, but it's good to have a few really trusted friends in our lives, godly people with whom we can pray, share, confess deep things. It's a really special relationship. And when Mary arrived at Elizabeth's house, she got all of that. She found someone who's truly all of those things. And Elizabeth affirmed Mary's condition as being from God. This is a beautiful response to Mary. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. There's the joy that we were talking about this morning. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord will fulfill his promises to her. Now, I could relate very well to dear Elizabeth because I never had children. I've got adopted children, which is... I tell you what, it's a really good way of having children. Every time I watch Call the Midwife, I think, oh, yes, thank you, Lord. they have been such an incredible blessing to us. But I understood the agony, the desire and so on of dear Elizabeth. And in her late years, that God chose her too, didn't he? Interesting that they were cousins, don't you think? She's another godly woman who not only connected emotionally and supportively with Mary, but she connected with her spiritually as well. And Mary must have felt the depth of affirmation and excitement of what God was doing in both of them. And she not only said, "You are blessed," but she affirmed that the child she was carrying was indeed from God. Isn't that amazing? The affirmation and confirmation moved Mary from something she held inside, if you like, to a sense of community outside of herself. Now, there is a place in our lives for such relationships, ones where we can encourage one another. Spiritually speaking, for us, it's really important to have a connection with someone with whom we can share the deep things of God. What he's doing in our lives, and how he's speaking to us, what his word means, to get excited together about Jesus. And over the years, I've experienced that kind of support and encouragement in my life. You know, if I've had an idea and I've shared it with somebody, they're, yeah, go on, go for it, Roz, and we'll support you. Come on, we can do this. Steve has been a great support in that. He says, yeah, go, girl. You do it. I'm behind you. We need people like that in our lives. So my second reflection for us is this. Who are we journeying with in our devotional life? Do they spark us and encourage us in the Lord? Spark us, I mean, you know, really say, look, this is what I've been reading this week. This is what God has been saying to me. Just really wanted to share it with you. What do you think? And the other part of this is, who are we encouraging? Who am I encouraging? Who am I affirming? When I see something that is amazing, I think, I need to tell that person. That's really great. We need to not only be encouraged, but we need to be encouragers and people who affirm. Big questions, aren't they? So anyway, here we go. This is the song that Lynn read for us this morning. Mary's response to Elizabeth's encouragement was to worship. She begins by praising God for who he is and what he's done for her. And the fact that God has taken notice of her. He sees her. You have been mindful of the humble state of your servant, she said. You know, she also knows what it will mean for her in the present and that she will be known for it in the future, not in an arrogant way, but in a way that God is going to fulfill his promises. Now, if you've ever studied this song, you will know that she uses a lot of God's word in it. And that just, I don't know, that really, really spoke to me. And I thought, she must have known it really well to use this. I mean, she was filled with the Spirit, but think about it, okay? So, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. We see this in Exodus 20, verse 6. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. We see that in Psalm 98, verse 1. He has filled the hungry with good things. He has sent the rich empty away. Psalm 107. Oops. Are we on? Verse 9. Yeah, okay. Okay. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful. And we see that in Psalm 98, verse 3. This is a song that is sung by someone who fearlessly embraced God's call on her life. A call to be faithful, obedient, and a mother. That was the call on Mary's life, to be a mother. But to be a mother to a remarkable son. Have you, I'm sure many of you will have heard of Dietrich Bonhoeffer, yeah? So he was a Lutheran pastor in the time of the Nazis in Germany. And he was really, he stood up against them and he was executed by them. He's written many things that people will have quoted in books that people will have used. And he said this. This Advent song, if you like, is also the most passionate, the wildest, and one might almost say the most revolutionary Advent hymn that has ever been sung. This is not the gentle, tender, dreamy Mary as we often see her portrayed in paintings. The Mary who is speaking here is passionate, carried away, proud, enthusiastic. There is none of the sweet, wistful, or even playful tone of many of our Christmas carols, but instead a hard, strong, relentless hymn about the toppling of thrones and the humiliation of the lords of this world, about the power of God and the powerlessness of humankind. Mary, who was seized by the power of the Holy Spirit, who humbly and obediently lets it be done unto her as the Spirit commands her, who lets the Spirit blow where it wills, she speaks by the power of the Spirit about God's coming into the world, about the advent of Jesus Christ. I wonder if we might see that song differently after reading something like that. Amazing that this came out of a young girl. Some people say probably no more than about 14 years old, because she was filled with God and his son. She was fearless. Ooh. She had to be pretty special to embrace this experience she already had had and what was to come. She recognized that through her son, God would be putting the world right. She saw that Jesus would be fulfilling the purposes of God in his and future generations. Now, not only was she present at the beginning, or the conception and the beginning of Jesus' life, but she also released him into ministry. If you remember at the wedding of Cana in Galilee, she started encouraging him to get involved in the problem. And he was saying, no, not yet. And she just turned around and said, do what he tells you. He had nowhere to go with that, did he? I'm obeying my mother. So she released him into ministry, really. But she was also there at the crucifixion. She stood by him. And she was with the rest of the disciples at Pentecost. Not only was Mary Jesus' mother, she was also his disciple. That's a wonderful combination. Third reflection, how passionate am I in worship of him? How well do I know God's word? You know, I'm just going to read you something. No, I'm not, because I haven't got my glasses and I won't be able to read it. Never mind. Eugene Peterson has a piece in his at the front of his Bible where he was basically saying, I never want to forget what God's word is and how it can help me and impact me. And I as I read this, I recognize the value, the joy, the complexity, but the equipping of God's word. It tells his story, but it also tells our story. And as I've reflected on Mary's life, her words, her faithfulness, her obedience, I've been challenged by my own journey with God in terms of faithfulness and obedience. My readiness to enjoy a depth of relationship, friendship, mutual trust with others. And how passionate am I in my worship and in reading his word? And in all of this, this is what we need to know. That God not only saw Mary, but he sees each one of us. He sees you and he sees me. He knows you and he knows me. He knows what you're capable of, what you've got in you, and he knows what I've got in me. So let's ask ourselves some of these questions. Am I journeying with God? What do I carry in my heart? Am I willing? Who am I journeying with? Who am I encouraging and affirming? How passionate am I in my worship of him, and how well do I know his word? Remembering, he sees me, he knows what I'm capable of, and he chose me too. That's you saying that to yourself, by the way. That's not just me, it's you. So as we finish, let's think about that amazing song and maybe how we can use it to pray. Lining up with the scripture, lining up with this amazingly strong song. Lord, we want to glorify you. We want our spirits to rise up and rejoice in you, because you're our Saviour. You have seen us. You know us. You know what we're capable of. And from now on, we want to know your blessing in our lives. For you're mighty. You've done great things for each one of us. And you are holy. Your mercy, Lord, extends to all of us who love you, from generation to generation, not in just in our generation, but the generations that are out in the other parts of this house. You have done incredible things, Lord. You've performed mighty deeds because you are strong and powerful. You are stronger and more powerful than any regime that would rise up to take power. And even though we look across the world and we see what those regimes are doing and what they have done, you are more powerful. Lord, take hold of that power and use it for your glory. Thank you that you do fill the hungry with good things, whether it's physical food or spiritual food. Lord, would you look to see where the hungry are and fill them with good things. And may we hear you, Lord. May we recognize your voice. And may we walk with you and with others as we journey together in Jesus' name. Amen.